Doubling up for the tests and the big bash. It's cricket, only better.
What an innings, what a player. Take a bow, Ben Stokes.
Brian Charles Lara becomes the first man in the history of the game to register a score of 400.
Six sixes in an over. Yuvraj Singh finishes things off in style.
England have won the World Cup by the barest of margins.
Betfair Betting Podcast presents Cricket, Only Better.
Welcome back to another bumper episode of Cricket, Only Better. I'm Ed Hawkins, reassuring that while we are locked down here in the UK, the rest of the world is returning to normality and we have Australia behaving badly on a cricket field again. Sam Collins.
Slightly concerned about your definition of normality there, Ed Hawkins, but I suppose everything is open to interpretation in these troubling times. We are previewing the fourth test between India and Australia as well, are we not? And much more besides, presumably.
Yeah, indeed. Deep breath, lot to get through. Australia v India, Sri Lanka v England, and two matches in the Big Bash, Stars v Strikers and Heat v Renegades to get our teeth into.
Lovely stuff. Best bets to come then. And look, we are winning you money, it turns out. Despite the japery, the running tally in 2020 was plus 12.89 units. I'm sure geniuses is like Pat Newman more responsible than Ed Hawkins. But Pat's back today, isn't he? He returns after his Christmas break, giving us some wisdom and insight.
Yeah, he's off the sherry. I think I am probably the architect of it all, though. You know, I am the great actor in terms of the 2020 plus 12.89 units. So, you know, do a bit of credit.
Units, tearing me, you sound like a policeman with a breathalyzer. Anyway, I think you better keep quiet and just get on and do Mythbuster. Tell us who it is and let's get rolling.
It's Mahela Jayawardena. Mythbuster, everybody's favourite time of the week, so we get to it early. Mahela Jayawardena is this week's focus. To £10 level stakes then, does he make our best value ODI 11? Betting him to £10 level stakes for top run scorer for Sri Lanka. Any Mahela Jayawardena anecdotes before we continue?
I was trying to rack my brains from the World Cup in 2012, 2020 World Cup in 2012, but nothing's coming to mind.
Okay.
I'm afraid. Sorry.
Not to worry. How did he get on? We need some average odds, first of all, from Betfair Sportsbook, Stuart Conroy, and he's only giving us 5-2. And it's the death knell. It's the death knell for it.
Same old Stuart.
Oh, dear. Jayawardena, 62 wins, 441 wages. Goodness me, I think this is going to be some sort of record loss. It's a win percent of 14%. But we are learning from that because it's record over reputation. Remember, the big name players, the players who supposedly score all the runs, are prohibitively short. That is the lesson. That's why we repeat it. My word, he's down minus £2,240. Sam, where does that put him on our charts?
Bottom, Ed Hawkins.
Gosh.
By a long way. By a long way.
And let's look at the... Just give us a rundown of our people in profit and we're going to try and find a winner for next week.
I think I'm so thrilled that I hold the top two positions with Sack Lane at plus 627, Michael Bevan at 460, and Ed Hawkins picked Ross Taylor, plus 190, Owen Morgan, I think it was me, plus 130, Brett Lee, and can't remember, plus 53. Then negative, Shane Warne, minus 4.93, Graham Swan, minus 1.4, Sourav Ganguly, minus 295, Harbhajan, minus 304, Tendulkar, minus 1300, Murali, minus 1435, and Mahela, minus 2240.
Well, look, the common denominator probably between the people in profit are they're not expected big names. They're not big reputation players, are they? So they're going to try and think out of the box in that regard. And I think we'll go for another opening batsman. And I'm just going to throw this name out there and see what comes back. Gary Kirsten.
Great. I'm all for it. Let's have a look.
Okay, Gary Kirsten is next week's Mythbuster.
Okay, let's start working out the winners for the test matches. Sri Lanka versus England first up. starts early Thursday morning from Gaul. Betfair Sportsbook prices 15-8 Sri Lanka, 10-11 England, draws 3-1. Best bet last week, of course, was backing Sri Lanka if they bat first. Pat Noon of CricViz is here. Pat, what do you make of that?
Yeah, well, history would be on your side if you went for that, because Sri Lanka have batted first on 20 occasions at Gaul and only twice have they ended up losing the match. Both of those were against Pakistan, one in 2000, one in 2015. So it's also possibly worth noting that this ground has only ever hosted six draw matches from the 33 it's hosted. That's a draw percentage of 18%, making it the sixth lowest of any ground to have hosted 20 matches. So the draw wouldn't seem particularly likely here, I don't think.
Okay, lovely stuff. Ed, coming to you for a quick recap on the pitch and also what you yourself have described as a killer stat on England's record in away tests. So no pressure there.
Yeah, my word. 11 of the last 16 at Gaul won by the side batting first. That's the only stat you need, I think. And that killer stat, as you mentioned, England have lost five of their last six first tests away from home. The odd one out, believe it or not, is at Gaul, when they batted first. So possible 11s for Sri Lanka first up. Karan Naratne, Chandamal Matthews, Kusal Perera, Dick Vella, Dhananjaya, Dilruwan, Vishwa Nandal, Embal Denia and Suranga Lakmal if fit. England, Crawley, Sibley, Bairstow, Root, Wokes, Best, Broad, Anderson. Now, that's not... that is not the entire 11, but I don't know what they're going to do. They're talking about bringing reserve spin bowlers, Matt Parkinson possibly. They might bowl Sam Curran in an all-rounder slot. One of Broad or Anderson might not play. So it's all up in the air, really, with England's 11.
And Henry Blofeld's going to play, isn't he? Not what they normally do in this situation.
Yeah. So it's a bit tricky to call that England 11.
Okay. Pat, can you give us an insight into the Sri Lanka players to look out for, please? Because I'm imagining people might not know as much about them as they do the England team.
Yeah, I mean, in Karunaratne, they've got one of the most solid openers in world cricket. Since 2018, there's only been five openers who have batted 10-plus innings in tests and averaged over 40, and he's one of them, so it's genuine test pedigree there. Then in Dick Weller, they've got one of the maddest players in the game. You never quite know what's going to happen when he bats. Our numbers say he's got an attacking shot percentage of 37% in tests, and the only specialist batsman ahead of him in the database of all time in test cricket is his teammate, Kusal Perera, with 42%. So it could be quite exciting if those two are at the crease together. And then with the ball, you've got Vishwa Fernando, who's quite an interesting bowler. He's a left-arm seamer. England, quite a lot of England's batsmen have struggled against left-arm seamer in recent years. And he's coming into the back of this off a five for against South Africa, so he could be one to watch.
Sri Lanka, in Sri Lanka, England facing a trial by spin. Who is England's best players off spin? Anyone we should be looking out for there?
Yeah, it's a small sample size, given he's only played eight tests, but Zach Crawley is currently averaging 81 against spinners in tests, so it'll be interesting to see if he's able to keep that up after a first subcontinent tour. You know, he's only played in, you know, less spin-friendly conditions up to now, so it'll be interesting to see if that continues. Then you've got Root, obviously a much bigger sample size. He's got an average of 62. And then Ben Foulkes, who may or may not play, but he did so well out in Sri Lanka last time. He averaged 61 against spin in tests. Then there's also talk of Dan Lawrence making his debut. His first class numbers are pretty good against spin. He averages 63. So, yeah, I mean, obviously, conditions in Sri Lanka are probably going to be quite different to county championship, but he looks at least well equipped for those conditions based on those numbers.
Just to shout numbers at you on those names that you've mentioned, Crawley and Lawrence for top England run scorer prices from Betfair Sportsbook. I refuse to give you Joe Root's price because it's a bad bet. Dan Lawrence is 5, Zach Crawley is 7-2. And also a question about England's spin bowlers. Jack Leach and Dom Bess are both rated at 4-1 by Sportsbook to take the most wickets in the first innings. Who's the most potent wicket taker out of those two?
Yeah, before looking at the numbers, my instinct was that it was going to be Leach, but the numbers don't actually bat out at all. In the first innings and tests, each of them have taken 11 wickets, but Bess has done so at a strike rate of 83 compared to Leach's 97, while Bess averages 39 compared to Leach's 47, which is pretty impressive for Bess, given he's only played in England and South Africa, while Leach has played in that last tour to Sri Lanka. So you'd think his numbers would be boosted by that, playing more favourable conditions. But Leach does massively come into his own in the second innings. He averages just 20 in the second innings compared to Bess's 42 and takes wickets at a strike rate of 44 compared to Bess's 96. But yeah, in first innings, you'd be looking at Bess, I think, based on the short career so far.
Australia versus India now. At the Gabba, Thursday start. Australia let down an army of backers when failing to take the remaining eight wickets on the last day at the SCG. Won't mention their behaviour on the pitch or off it. Indeed. Betfair Sportsbook odds 8-15 Australia, 4-1 the draw, 7-2 India. Easy question for you, Pat. Who's winning this one?
I think it's hard to look past Australia given their record in Brisbane, and especially with India's injuries. And, you know, the news today that Jadeja's going to have surgery, so he'll definitely miss the test. And so, yeah, they've got a decision to make about how they balance their team without him there. I think India would probably take a draw if you offered it to them now, despite the last couple of matches. Yeah, I think I'd still go for Australia.
Ed Hawkins, pitch report, please. More names and numbers.
Yeah, it's not the Gabba, it's the Gabatoir. Can you get the name right, please, Sam? Australia not lost there since November 1988 versus West Indies, which is quite a long time ago. Won 7 in a row. And in 5 of the last 6, Australia have busted 400 in the first innings. So, you know, in-play advice with this one would be if we could just get a bit of a squeeze on by India early doors, perhaps removing one of Bukowski or Warner cheaply, or perhaps both, we might be able to push up towards the 1.9 mark. I don't think if Australia are batting first, we're going to get anything better than that in play. A little bit shy of taking 8-15 Australia. Straight off the bat without the toss in their favour.
Okay. Pat, what is up with this Australia side? Big win first time out. Bowling's great, but since then, big defeat in Melbourne, this failure in Sydney. Is this a blip? Is this something terminal? I mean, we're seeing the culture, that well-coined phrase, beginning to fall apart too. What's going on?
Yeah, it's hard to say, really. I think they seem to just have a lot of batsmen out of form at the same time. I mean, Smith was obviously in a bit of a rut before he got the 100 in Sydney. Labuschagne's reliable as ever, but then after that, you've had, you know, Warner's been injured and he missed out twice when he came back at Sydney. Then people like Bukowski and Green are obviously talented but new to the side. And then I guess people like Wade, Head and Payne just haven't quite delivered for a while, so they haven't really picked up the slack when people like Smith and Warner have been out of the side or out of form. I think, I don't know, maybe we might look back at this period as being something of a transitional one if the young players kind of work out and turn out to be the real deal. For now, it does look like something's not quite working with the bat. But, I mean, yeah, it should be said they're playing against a pretty good team as well. India are going to cause problems for anyone in any condition. So, and it, you know, it was only 3 games ago that they bowled them out for 36. So I'm not sure we can completely write them off yet.
Stop being so reasonable, Pat. Ed, who'd you like to go well on the side markets?
I quite like Ravi Ashwin here, top India bowler, coming back for a win after his win in the first test. He might be a little bit of value. I'll get Pat's views on that in a second. Smith and Cummins, we've been waiting for those two to cop respectively on top bat and top bowler, and they did so. So we tend to shy away from going in again for back-to-back wins. As you know, Sam, it's a rare occurrence from our feature, which I've forgotten the name of it, Mythbuster, goodness me. So we've been waiting for those two to win for a while, and they've done so. Looking at India's top run scorer, Pant is a possibility at big numbers because he doesn't have a huge amount to beat. But we've mentioned that throughout the series. David Warner, I think, has got 817 runs in 7 innings at this ground. So he has a great record. Smith has obviously big runs as well. At the venue, and also he's good at putting together back-to-back scores, but we'll probably come back to Pat on that one as well in a second.
Pat, anyone stand out for you from the matchups you've seen?
Yeah, I like Ashwin for top bowler as well. He's got Warner 6 times in tests, Smith 6 times, Wade 5 times. He went wicketless in the first innings in the last test, but his record in Australia is generally okay in the first innings. He bowled in the first innings 10 matches, and in 6 of those innings he's taken at least 3 wickets, if that makes sense. I think he'd probably go well again. Then with the bat, Smith, as we said, he's come off four innings in a row with single figure scores, and then bounced back with 150. And the last time he had 4 single figure scores in a row was back in 2015, when he then went on one of the best runs of form in his career. So if that was to repeat itself, then he should be on the cusp of getting some big runs again.
Big Bash previews coming next. Stay tuned for our best wagers of the week. Just when you thought we couldn't have any more fun, 2 big Bish matches to get on with now. Heat versus the Renegades on Thursday, Stars versus the Strikers on Friday. Pat Noon still here to help us out. Thank you, Pat. We'll start with the Heat versus Renegades. Heat are doing very well, Pat. Why?
Yeah, their power play bowling has been good, surprisingly so, I think. Overall, they got the best economy rate in the competition in the first four overs at 6.86. Jack Wilderman's numbers in particular have been excellent. He's taken five wickets at an economy of just 4.6. While Xavier Bartlett, who I don't think many people would have known much about before the tournament, he's been impressive as well, picking up four wickets in that phase, albeit an economy of 8.57 hasn't been great, but, you know, he's picking up the wickets, that's okay. Then with the bat, then the team has made the best use of the power surge, having scored at 12.71 in the little two-over power plays that have come in the middle of the innings. So, yeah, that's a couple of things that they've got right, a couple of tick boxes there, and it's made for them having better results than I think all of us were expecting at the start of the season.
Okay, same sort of question the other way around for the Renegades. How and why have they been so turgid?
Yeah, I mean, sort of flip side of the Heat's answer, really. They haven't played a power surge well at all. They've only gone at 8.53 in those overs, which is the lowest in the competition. And perhaps most bizarrely, they've only lost six wickets cumulatively in those power surge overs, which is among the lowest in the competition. So they're not scoring quickly, but that's not because they're being kind of overly reckless and trying to hit. They just haven't really had the power to surge, as it were. And then with the ball, it's been a similar story to last year, where they've been expensive at both ends of the innings. That's despite Kane Richardson taking eight wickets at the death. Their economy in that phase is still 10.8 in their last five overs, which is second highest behind the Sixers. And yet you're just not going to win many games if you've got numbers like that.
Okay. Team news and a pitch report from our glamorous assistant, Edward Hawkins, please.
Yes, thank you. Heat, team news, possible 11. Bryant, Lynn, Denley, Burns, Pearson, Gregory, Baisley, Wildermuth, Steckerty, Bartlett, Loughlin, got question mark. We've got no Mujib. He's gone back to represent Afghanistan against Ireland. Renegades for you. Harper, Marsh, Finch, Rousseau. That's a question mark about him. He might be coming back to fitness. We're not sure. Fraser McGurk, Prestwich. Fraser McGurk, that's one player, by the way. Prestwich, Imad Wasim, Richardson, Hatzoglu, Josh Lala, and we think Noor Ahmed might come in. Renegades have not got Mohammed Nabi anymore after he made a fantastic knock to actually win them a game. Which is quite extraordinary. The pitch, Thunder have gone huge in the last two games, breaching 200. This game is at Canberra, the Manuka Oval. We like to say that batsmen are in honey. Thunder have won four of the last five there this season, but Stars beat them there, and they have two wins out of three. So Thunder like the wicket. And what the pitch does, but I can't really see much crossover with their balance and these two teams, because it seems to be a bit of a mess, these sides. Early odds show has Heat at 1.53 on the exchange, which is incredibly short and will get you back up. But Betfair Sportsbook are going a bit short, a bit bigger than that, 4-5. Two poorly balanced teams, if you ask me. Do you have a view on a match win here, Pat? Because they look as bad as each other, really.
Yeah, I think the Heat will be too strong for the Renegades. So I think they've got the bowling attack at the top of the innings, which will blunt the Renegades. Sort of, you know, what if they're sort of top order failed, then there's not much left for them there. So I think, yeah, if Bartlett and Wilderman knock a couple over, then that's going to be tough for the Renegades to post a big score. And then conversely, the Heat's batting lineup is well placed to take advantage of the Renegades' weakness as well. So yeah, I think the Heat will run out winners here.
What about the matchups, Pat? Who could go well? Who could do badly?
Main one that stands out is Lynn's record against Imad. Pakistani left arm spinners restricted him to just 41 runs from 59 balls and got him out twice. If they both played, this would be the third differently they face each other in, having played in the CPL and the PSL as well as an international. So pretty big sample size across a lot of different conditions there. And then another good one for the Renegades is Finch against Loughlin. He's taken him for 61 or 43 and only got out once. So if Loughlin plays, then Finch could target him. And the Renegades really badly need him to find form. So this could be the day he finally does.
Okay. Any dovetailing there on the tops market, Ed?
Not really, unfortunately. Chris Lynn's 21-10. Betfair Sportsbook, he's got a very solid record, but I think he's won his last two or two of his last three or something like that. So we're a bit reluctant to start getting involved, chasing the money on that one. And then Aaron Finch is costing money, people all over the place. He's 23-10 here with Betfair Sportsbook, and we expect Sean Marsh to come back into the team. He's missed the last two. Sean Marsh is going to be favourite at 21. 10. Finch is well overdue, but he's had such a bad run. His price is now out of line with his win rate, which is quite something, because he started off giving some massive edge, but that has disappeared. And we can't quite work out what's wrong with him. He got a duck last time. And I think with Hum, the Renegades batting, because it's so been so flaky, I think they suffered three of the biggest defeats ever in the Bash, and their batting's been terrible and their bowling hasn't been much better. It just pays to have a look at that, look at some of the prices lower down. I think, you know, Prestwich at 20s, Imad Wasim, even him, he can give it a belt, and he's at 60-1. That might be a little bit of value, but nothing really standing out on the tops market. So no dovetailing, I'm afraid.
Okay, let's move on then. Best bets still to come. We move on instead to the Friday clash between Stars and Strikers. Repeat of Monday's match when Strikers downed the Stars. Stars have been hugely disappointing. Pre-tournament favourites struggling to even qualify. Pat Noon, it's another what has gone wrong.
I think with the bat, they've got sort of bogged down a bit. Their dot ball percentage is 38%, which is the highest of any team in the competition. And now that's okay if your boundary percentage is high and you can sort of make up for it. That's largely how West Indies play. But so Stars' boundary percentage has been 17%, which is only the fourth best in the competition. So, you know, they've got that's a high dot ball percentage and a sort of middling boundary percentage. So it's absolutely neither one thing nor the other. And that's led to them getting a bit stuck and then losing wickets in a bit of a heap. This year, they've lost a wicket every 16 balls, which is well down from every 20 balls last year when they were the best in the competition in the group stage. So, yeah, there's been a definite drop off there.
Ed Hawkins, you know what I'm going to ask you now?
Yes, team news and pitch report, isn't it?
It is, yeah.
There you go, I'm on the ball. Stars, boosted by Harris Ralph's return, badly need some potency with the ball. This is their possible 11. Stoinis, Fletcher, Larkin, Maxwell, Madison, Cartwright, Gotch, Zampa, Rainbird, Hatcher, Ralph. Couple of names to pick out there. Madison actually got some runs the other day. Seems like the first time in about three competitions in the Bash that he did well. Seb Gotch is in this 11. How on earth this guy continues to get a gig, I don't know. He seems to have seen off Peter Hanscombe. I've got a theory that's why Stars are struggling, because they miss Hanscombe's cool hands in the middle order and behind the wicket perhaps as well. Strikers, the big news here is there's no Rashid Khan. He's gone back to represent Afghanistan, but Peter Siddle could return from a hurty finger. Liam O'Connor comes in for Rashid. So the possible 11 is Salt, Renshaw, Carey, Wells, Weatherald, Gibson, Worrell, Briggs, O'Connor, Siddle, Wes Agar, who's the standout bowler of the tournament for me so far. MCG, toss bias alert, Claxon, only 37% win rate for side batting first in the last four competitions. This is the first game at the G this tournament. 159 is your average score. 44% of sides passed 160 batting first.
At Noon, I would love to know what happens to the Strikers without Rashid Khan.
Oh, it's a little hard to really know, given that he's only actually missed one match since he joined them in 2017 and the Strikers won that match. So there's not much historically to go on there. But yeah, you'd think they'd struggle to replace him. He's the only bowler in their lineup with an economy below seven, and he's picked up 16 wickets, which is only one behind Wes Agar. So yeah, it's pretty big shoes for Liam O'Connor to fill, that's for sure, I think.
Yeah, possible choice affair this one on the odds. We don't have them yet because games are going on all the time. We were kind of hoping that we might get a little bit of value on the Stars, possibly at odds against, but we do fear that that absence of Rashid is going to mean they're going to shorten up in the market when it does mature. And we suspect the bowler-friendly nature of the wicket actually helps Stars here bridge the gap. So it's kind of odds dependent. So I'm not going to be pinning my colours to one team or the other at the moment.
Ed, your word has it, you're very keen to ask Pat about Harris Ralph.
Chomping at it, chomping at the bit. Yeah, he got 40% win rate previously in the Bash for top bowler before this tournament started. So if Pat can give us something to suggest he can go well against this Strikers lineup, I've got a good feeling.
Yeah. I mean, there's not much in the head-to-heads to suggest that he will. He's only, the game on Monday was the first time he actually played the Strikers, so he got Jonathan Wells out in that game, but that was after conceding 16 off six balls against him. That's the only wicket he's taken against any of the Strikers squad, albeit as obviously it's a pretty small sample size. But one thing in his favour is that this game will be at the MCG, as we said, and in Ralph's career there, he's taken a wicket every 12 balls he bowls, so. And yeah, that suggests he could well be back in the wickets again.
Bingo. There you go. That's what we wanted.
Lovely stuff. Now, Pat, last time you were on, you picked out a best bet on Maxwell to top bat, which you did. Any more match-up gold here?
I quite like Alex Carey as an option. He's a good player of spin. He's got great records against both Maxwell and Zampa. Maxwell's never got him out, and he scored 59 off 38 against him, while Zampa's got him once, but Carey scored 43 off 31 in that career match-up. He's gone well against the Stars before. He's never scored below 21. He's averaged 47 for five innings. So, yeah, I'll go for Carey for best bet.
You know the drill. Here comes the jingle. There follows the best bets. Okay, gentlemen, best bets, please. Who wants to go first? Don't all jump at once.
Pat, you go first.
Yeah, I think out of everything we talked about, I think Alex Carey being the top striker's batsman against the Stars is my tip for best bet.
Okay, you're probably going to get around about 5-2. Alex Carey's going to go our favourite in that market. And my best bet after Pat furnished me with the statistics that I wanted is Harris Ralph, top Stars bowler against the strikers. I think we also might get around about 5-2. That's your lot for Cricket Only Better this week. Join us next week for more bumper previews. And in the meantime, don't forget to check out betting.betfair for every single Big Bash match previewed. And there's also Test match previews on there with Sri Lanka facing England and Australia versus India. See you next time.